Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John avoids scary movies and invests in some good knee braces. Meanwhile, I ponder the most laid-back of the martial arts and tell the true story of the time a woman brought her own tank to fight in a war. Plus, a conversation about negative engagement online and whether the algorithm is creating or merely reflecting our current culture. Today's episode is not sponsored by filming concerts with your phone. When you want a low-quality video with distorted audio and also want to annoy those around you, try filming concerts with your phone. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Johnny, I'm just going to jump right in and say it's another episode of Talk About That. I try to have something pithy usually.
Kind of a segue or anything?
Well, I mean, I just thought, you think maybe the listener's tired of it? Like, what is John going to say today? I mean, it's not like it's groundbreaking. You know what's groundbreaking? This podcast. Like, it doesn't need an introduction.
Yeah.
I mean, but technically that was the introduction. So
yeah, it's like there was the old guy that there was a movie where the guy said, like, I'm not gonna hit you. He walks up to a girl, I'm not gonna hit you with some line. Okay. You know, I'm not that guy. And she goes, yeah, you are, but not having a line is your, line.
Right.
So that's what you did. You were that guy now.
Right. Like, what sort of jerk would say something here?
Yeah.
Right.
It's okay.
So I don't know if you know this, but I took a little trip recently.
You went to Mickey's place.
Which I understand some of our listeners may be like, oh, great, another trip from John and Johnny, which you're way worse.
Yeah.
Because, you're out professionally doing it.
We had one listener who messaged me that said they thought Carlo was a little hard on you for being excited about going to Disney because he was a Florida native and kind of like poo-pooed the Central Florida vacation people. And we know he didn't know until he listened to the whole episode that, like, Carlo and us have a thing. We go back and forth and Carlo was just whatever.
Yeah.
He was like, God, why is Carlo just browbeating John about this?
I thought of Carlo.
Yeah.
When
you got the bill?
Correct. Whenever all
started adding up.
I looked at it. I was like,
he's right.
Disney has gone up.
We could have gone to France for this.
It's gone up at least 50% since the last time. I would say 40 to 50%. And I did not. Like, you have to pay now. Again, it was fine.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You didn't have to pay before?
We just snuck in before.
Great. You know the fence code. You can have all the Disney you want.
Now it's like, if you want to ride the best ride in each park, you got to pay even extra. And if you want to be able to get what used to be Fast Passes, they're now called Lightning Lane. You have to pay every morning for Genie Plus. It's like This feels very...
And they name it something kid-friendly and cool. Right. I want Genie Plus, Dad.
But you don't pay for a Genie. You rub a lamp.
Right.
If you have to pay the Genie...
But you got to buy the lamp, though, first. That's what happens. You inadvertently end up with a lamp that came from an antique shop that you didn't know was a magical lamp, right?
Right. That's how I want to get into Disney.
You should accidentally get it. You should be like, what is this old relic on the ground?
Yes.
And you pick it up, and Walt Disney's frozen visage appears.
It's like, you can ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at 2 o'clock for free.
By the way, anyone cured my disease yet? Like, he's hoping to come back. I don't know if he's really frozen.
Anyone?
What did Walt Disney die of? Old age, right?
I think old age.
Okay.
You can't cure that, Johnny.
Not so
and
much.
Guys, that's our show.
I think we got what we need.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But Carlo was right. Like, wow, we could have done a lot.
No, he was right, and he was a little mean. No, Carlo, we love you.
Oh, Carlo. I love that interview. I thought he was great. I don't know why you've been dogging him ever since.
I'm upset with Carlo, and we're going to have it out. But not physically, because
Carlo is a brown belt in
Yeah.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu, right?
Yeah, I don't know what he is. I think that's what he practices. Oh, wow. Muay Thai.
He's going to be like...
Which is very Thai. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know the exact...
I don't know either. But I thought after that episode, I think I want to start doing martial arts training.
Yeah?
Like, I mean, I thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. But I thought if I was a better person who's going to make a major life change, I think I would go do that.
Okay.
It's a good thing I'm not.
So you're pondering.
Right.
You're pondering the life change.
Right.
That's the first step.
I don't know if it is.
In a way, that is a martial art because you're meditating.
There you go.
That's what I want to do. I want to do, it seems to me like Tai Chi, and I've never done it, but when you see it in the movies, people are like, I practice Tai Chi. They're just kind of sitting in a room and doing a lot of.
Just moving their arms
this
around.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And it feels very meditative and just like, you can almost fall asleep doing it. I don't think it's a fighting.
But you're like, I want that part. I want something I can almost fall asleep to.
But if somebody attacks you, you're like, hold on now. It feels like it's very slow motion Tai Chi. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's like,
I got my wallet. Like you just, you try to lull them into a false sense of security, don't you?
They're like, why are you talking like this? Give me your wallet. And you're
oh, right away.
You want mine?
Sure thing.
We'd like to apologize to the Tai Chi community.
Yeah, I'm sorry if we have a lot.
Because we don't really know anything about
it. We don't know anything. We're dumb.
What you do.
It just feels, I've seen, you know, it feels like there's a lot of sitting, you know, cross-legged and just like getting into, centered.
That's where I was out because I'll go numb.
No.
Do you ever, does your leg go to sleep whenever you sit with your legs crossed?
Yeah. I mean, my legs go to sleep when I'm on the toilet too long. I'm not in good shape, John.
Are your legs asleep right now?
Yeah, they're getting there. Yeah, so I ran into a buddy yesterday who is into, and I told him, I was like, we got to get together because he's into this pickleball craze.
Oh, it's everywhere.
They're building courts everywhere. He got in early. I know our pastor and great friend Andrew, he got into pickleball like right at the edge of the trend.
Right, it was just called cucumber ball back then.
It had to get ready. It wasn't quite there. And didn't he, like, tear his knee up? He's one of these guys that, like, tears his ACL, then he's like, yeah, I'm not going to get it fixed.
He walked it off, yeah.
I just don't have an ACL anymore.
Yeah. He wills away injuries and sickness all the time.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He's like LeBron. LeBron will just snap his ankle, then he'll go, like, tie his shoes. He'll, like, retie his shoes tight, and then he's back in the play, and you're like, okay, LeBron, what are you on?
Right. How tough are your shoestrings?
Yeah.
Right.
He's just tightening it up. You just tighten it tight.
Maybe he's pulled the tendons out of his ankle and now he ties his shoe.
That's what his shoestring is. Right. It's tendon. I don't know. But I want to try pickleball. It looks kind of like you're standing on the ping pong table. That's how I would describe it. Don't you think?
It's
like a wiffle ball. It's a plastic ball
that
bounces, but not like a racquetball would.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got some give to it. But you have time to react. So it's like a ping pong. It's like giant ping pong. It's what it looks like to me.
If you combine Tai Chi with pickleball, you'd have all the time in the world to react.
Oh, man.
It's like, I wonder if, is it the same rules of racquetball? Of tennis?
I think obviously. So. But I know there's doubles. And yesterday I go, can Curry play? Can we do like a couples? And he goes, it's doubles. I go, I guess that's, I don't mean to.
Who said this to you?
It was my friend Kevin.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if he's a listener, but.
He was being an elitist right
now. He was being a little, shaming me a little bit like.
What sort of fool would call it?
And I did ask him, I go, can I borrow your, I don't know, buy gear.
You said, can I borrow your racket? And he was like, it's called a paddle.
And they're like $500. He has like a $500.
Are they called paddles?
I don't know what they're called.
I thought it
was racket. I think it's a racket. This whole thing's a racket, is what I think.
Why are they so expensive? Aren't they smaller?
Well, they have.
And they're hitting a wiffle ball.
Well, you have it. What's what I'm saying is, it's like if you show up to whatever and somebody's got the nice golf clubs.
Yeah.
They have an advantage, especially if they're good.
Do they, though?
Well, not against me, because I'm. There's no advantage any greater than just
Tiger Woods clubs, and it wouldn't
matter. They're manually operated.
Right.
But I think he did say, like, you can borrow. I have five. He has five, and he has a bunch of cheap ones. He's like, you borrow one of my cheapies, and then we'll. I go, you're going to pound me. Let me have the good one.
So you played?
No, we haven't. Oh. But I'm gonna make it happen because I really want to try it. I'm trying to get into a new.
I feel like
something.
When you come back from this story, you're gonna be wearing.
I'm gonna
a
have
brace.
A torn ACL.
Right.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a brace of some sort.
Two of them,
maybe a cast.
The Forrest Gump ones with the brackets on the side. Do they still make kids wear those?
Do
you ever see those anymore?
Yeah, but they're not shiny metal.
Okay.
Usually they're
it's like a titanium.
Yeah,
it's a matte finish,
covered in some sort of like soft. Yeah. Material.
Kids can be mean.
When
Still, they're still to mean. Yeah, don't mean to me.
At volleyball tournaments, they have all these booths set up, and like they have these special ankle braces and stuff now.
Oh, okay.
And I almost stopped and bought a few,
just to have.
Well, I thought
because you got some trick ankles.
Well, we both between the two of us.
I've not hurt my ankle. Of course, I've not played basketball in a long time. But I mean, just I run in a straight line.
I'm pretty good. Yeah,
generally in a straight line. under the advice of counsel, I don't want to say anything.
I don't want to say anything else, yeah. But I thought if we do get to play basketball again soon,
we need some braces.
That I want to be proactive.
Yeah.
I want to prophylactically.
Just get a full body cast.
I mean, maybe. I thought I could do my knees and my ankles and just put braces on everything. The things you were just talking about, like the Forrest Gump stuff, but the one that's made for athletes that bend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, could you imagine me just walking out like this bionic player?
Yeah, they're going to be like, what has gotten into John?
And then when I'm slow, I'll be like, guys, sorry, it's all the braces, you know. But wow. I have a great excuse for that. But
well, yeah, it's true. When things start, you're like, oh, man, I just feel like I got my legs are heavy today. Yeah, they are. You have 8 pounds of metal on them, you loser. I don't know. So speaking of mean kids, I don't get a ton of like negative feedback on my social media stuff, which has been like almost weird.
Interesting.
Like for a while on my dry bar, I was like, are they going through and filtering out? Because it's so positive. And then I saw a few other people's specials and like, no, they're not. If they are, they're asleep at the wheel.
You're like, I'm just that good.
No, I don't want to be that either because I get, you know, one out of 100 people will be like, you know, they'll say something.
What's wrong with you?
But sometimes every now and again, and I never usually respond to a mean comment. I'll just be like, whatever.
Because you're afraid.
Yes, I'm afraid of that person. Yeah. And I'm like, Curry, why would you say that online? I'm right here. Just tell
me. Say it to my face.
Tell me in person.
Please.
No, I'm always like, I leave them now because my social media people have advised me that those drive engagement more. So it's like they're giving you a free push.
Interesting.
So when you go delete that, like 1,000 more people would have saw that video probably, you know.
So you're just asking for negative feedback.
I'm not, but I just, because it hurts my feelings so bad.
Hey, podcast family.
Yeah.
What we need from you.
Well, I've heard comedians talk about this. One comedian said, they said, did the negative comments hurt your feelings? He goes, yes, a lot. He goes, but I don't want to remove that part of my personality and become callous to that because that's the same sensitivity that makes me write jokes. And I think that's true. There's something to it. Like the way you see the world is this extra sensitive antenna are up, but it also makes you more susceptible to like being just trashed by somebody. So anyway, every now and again, I'll get a negative comment. And somebody wrote yesterday, I had a video that's been up and it's got hundreds of thousands of views, all positive comments for the most part. Tons of likes and shares. And then this guy goes, you ain't funny. You never were. It was just one of those. Kind of. And I was like, whatever. Sometimes I'll click on there. If I got nothing to do, I'll click on there. I just want to go see what their deal is.
Right.
And so 9 times out of 10, John, they have a very specific kind of profile. And this guy for sure fit the bill. I swear to you, he's taken like his last 5 posts. He had taken these online quizzes that you can take to see what personality type you are.
Wow.
And it said, I swear to you, his first post after having left the horrible thing to me 2 days ago, he took an online quiz and it said, you are 98% empath. I was like, okay.
Are you though?
Are you for sure?
I
want to comment under him. You're not an empath and you never, you know, whatever. You never were. But it's just so funny, like, that lack of self, like, it just proves that those personality quizzes, you can give them the right information, because he's not an empath.
No.
He's not like, I bet this would really hurt Johnny's feelings, so I won't say it. He was like, I want to hurt this person.
Right.
Because it'll make me feel better.
I want to say something to a guy about a guy I've never met who's doing something that I could never do.
Yeah. No, like, I don't know that. Maybe he's...
Sorry, that's John talking, not Johnny.
Okay,
I'm
you're
defending my friend.
Thanks for getting your dukes up
that's
for
right.
me.
And I'm sick of people coming after Johnny, that one guy out of the hundreds of thousands of views. But
I noticed that his name sounded a little like it was like Ron Driver. I thought it was a little... And it was one of your old photos when you had hair. That was his profile pic? No.
I am very pathetic. Everyone knows that. And listener, we know that you're empathetic to the needs of this podcast, which is why we have sponsors, and that's why we would love for you to take just a second and hear what they have to say. I should go leave a negative comment because now I know it drives traffic.
Well, I think I've sent the wrong message here. I don't want people to just go start trolling me just for
loud
fun.
Loud and clear, Johnny.
Because I've made it clear, it hurts my feelings.
But maybe...
I have feelings.
How are you going to grow past that? without the adversity.
You're saying I need a bump in the road so that I can.
Yeah. Actually had that. I was working
on it. I need an obstacle to throw my hat over, like the moon landing, right?
Right.
Which may or may not have happened. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I believe the moon landing actually happened.
Oh, okay.
And Johnny is a rabid conspiracy theorist.
I think we went, got terrible footage, and had to fake it. You know what I'm saying? I think the footage was grainy, and they were like, we can't. So then they went to the soundstage in Arizona.
The real footage they had. When they just got there, like, nothing really happened.
Yeah.
It was just like, I mean, I don't know.
NASA makes another appearance in our This Week in History this week.
Did they really?
Yeah. We've got a lot of space-related stuff that you didn't know about and I didn't know about that we're revealing on This Week in History. So that's kind of fun. I like that.
Well, I mean, someone has to finally talk about it.
Exactly. When are we going to start talking about space?
I was asking my former military friend yesterday, you know, because, you know, the Coast Guard is no longer a branch of the military.
Okay.
It was like moved now to Homeland Security, I think.
Oh, so it's not called Coast Guard?
It is, but it used to be.
It's under the umbrella.
Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard.
Well, now it's Space Force too, right?
Now Space Force is a new actual armed forces.
Yes. What are we armed with? What are we arming those guys with?
And I totally get if it's cyber. I wonder if that's what it is, if it's cyber type stuff or security. I don't know. I'm just, because, you know, there was a spoof comedy made called Space Force.
Yeah, but that was about the actual thing. It's been out for a while.
Right. But there space is force a space has been a, force. We yes. actually have a space force.
We do.
And I just don't, and I'm not being cutesy.
Maybe there's somebody out there in the Space Force and they're like, you don't know the great
right,
work we're
saying,
doing.
I don't know what they're doing. And,
yeah.
And maybe it's something I'll want to join. I don't know.
Do we know if there are there threats from space that we need to?
I would imagine what the threat is again, Chinese satellites that
oh, okay.
may be equipped with. So, I mean, I would
say. But that would feel like Homeland Security to me.
Right. But
that
I
doesn't
guess,
feel like space. Maybe they call it because it's satellite.
Maybe once you're in space, you stop calling it Homeland. You know what I'm saying? Like, now you're in. So I get it, I suppose.
In space, no one can hear you raise taxes to pay for your exorbitant programs or whatever it is. I thought it was interesting reading the stuff post-Reagan that the whole Star Wars thing, the missile defense system that he kind of,
right.
you know.
Never worked.
It never was a thing. Like, it was yeah. a total just poker bluff. But it worked because, well, we had more missiles, too. So we won the space race, then we won the missile race, the armament. Yeah. And then we had Reagan that could really sell that, look, if you shoot a missile at us, we have satellites that shoot it down. And so that kind of like, you
right.
know, that and just communism fell because it's a failed system.
Wow.
And
you didn't even ask me how
I mean,
I
just
felt
economically. I'm sorry. I'm just economically, it didn't. So it's like all
right.
of that played into like us winning the Cold War. But it's just interesting that. I wonder what would have happened. It's just like we talked about that with JFK before, where part of the reason that Khrushchev stood down at in the Cuban Missile Crisis was that he got word that Kennedy was getting ready to announce war. Like, he's going live. And so he just goes, we're done then, because we can't risk it. And so he bails and stands down. And all they were doing was replaying the old speech, like from a month ago.
Hmm.
But Khrushchev didn't know that.
Wow.
So it's like all these weird poker bluffs that happen in politics are so interesting to me. Like, you go through that sliding door of what could have happened
yeah.
if one guy had flinched.
Yeah.
It's so weird, you know?
Scary stuff.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah. Things hinge upon very small butterfly effect type decisions, certainly.
Do you think that we've done some of that stuff? Do you think that there's like been moments where you go, man, woulda, coulda, shoulda? Moments, John?
You mean like in life and the podcast and our careers? What do you mean?
I don't differentiate between the three. This podcast
this is my life.
This podcast is my life and career.
Yeah. I often, you know, I was counseling with somebody the other day. Like, you can never feel the weight of what never happened.
Yeah.
And so you're always consigned to the reality that did. And so the negatives of the reality generally stick out to you more than the positives in a lot of ways, I think, for some of us at least. But you don't know what you avoided.
Yeah.
Because it never happened.
Yeah, you never really give yourself credit for the stuff. Yeah, I remember seeing a preacher talk about that one time. It might have been T.D. Jakes. He said, have you ever thanked God for the stuff that you didn't face consequences for, that you deserved?
Yeah.
And I never really thought of it that way. You never really thought of like, yeah, God forgave my sin, but like, yeah, you also, you don't, I don't want to say you got away with it. It was, I didn't feel like, yeah, I got, but that thing of like, you were protected in a way that you hadn't thought about before from the consequences of your actions.
And I think you don't, for me at least, I don't have the same level of presentness and gratitude whenever I don't have the consequences. Yeah. I find that, you know, like my cancer scare, I was for a month, I mean, just convinced I'm dying.
Yeah.
Begging God for help, trusting if I don't make it, it's okay. You know, and this is what I'm asking for. And I found myself a little more like, maybe it's in the 40s, but how fast, it's not that I stopped being grateful for it, but how fast something else can now be my new stressor that's of a much lesser life and death degree. But I feel not equally as inflamed, but like worry is almost like, well, your tank, like my worry tank can be full in the same way, my capacity for it. And then it's like the perspective gets lost of, oh, and it really helps right now. I'll stop and go, especially during prayer times, like, oh, I remember I wasn't sure if I'd be in chemo treatments right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm worried about this.
Right.
And compared to chemo treatments.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what hard, we just can't be even as grateful. I think maybe that's one of the reasons God allows hardship. I mean, you can't be as grateful or as aware of things that don't happen. It's like I can't with Sadie, there are times you're like, why are you doing that? You know, with kids and teenagers. But you realize, like, they cannot understand the scope of it until they've experienced
right.
it, negatively or positively. So for me, I'm only speaking because I experienced that negatively. Now I know. But, and I hate that idea. I wish we could learn by listening and all those things, and we do a lot.
Yeah.
But there's just some things we have to experience the hardship of in order to know. Interesting.
So you just let Sadie touch the stove and stuff? What a kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Just like, let her...
Just, hey, come over here and look at the pretty
lights. I told you to hold the handrail.
Yeah.
I'll see you at the bottom.
That's the weird part is in all seriousness, is not, especially as a six, not preventing every bad thing that could ever happen.
Right.
Not... I mean, it's really hard. Because when they're little, you are out to do that. Like,
Really, you got to bubble wrap your kids,
And we were never a bubble wrap, like, you know, don't have, there's no germs, there's no, you know,
let her
play and do her stuff. But I'm aware of where the road is at all time. I'm aware of sharp objects. I'm, you know, trying to, you know, I'm aware of strangers. Like, I'm hypersensitive to those things, security, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's at an age where, you know, she needs to experience things. So it's very jarring.
Yeah. Right, especially if your kid's a klutz. What do you do then? You know, you can't.
Lord. My kid's an athlete. I wouldn't say. Yeah, she's pretty. I mean, she's not always completely. And I guess just at that teenage time. Of course, Laura and I laugh. We'll just be, I'll be in the house. I'll hear a, ow.
Right.
And I'll go, what? Are you okay? Yeah, I just ran into the wall.
Right.
And I just am like,
and it was Laura,
right? And I'm like, hey, did the wall move? Like, you know, then you start, now you're being offensive,
right? Because you're 98% empath,
right?
Did the wall move, you loser? Hey, while you're up, give me a glass of tea.
It's only when I know she's okay.
I know.
And then, but so I guess to say,
no, that's just a funny thing couples do, though. I think to me, that's absolutely. A funny. I don't. Like, Curry and I, we sneeze in, like, a succession. Like, it's a five in a row. Like, it's like, if somebody starts sneezing in our marriage, it's going to be a minute. And so we always go, bless you. And then on the third one, I go, now you're just embarrassing yourself. That there's always something, you know.
Right. Yeah, and I try to, the hard part is if she's really hurt.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'd said something bad. And now I really am a jerk.
Or the wall did move. And you're like,
no, hey.
Hey, we got ourselves a poltergeist. It turns out this house was built on an Indian burial ground. We got to get out of here. the 80s horror movies, man, weren't they the best? You never were into scary movies.
Not a big horror movie guy. I think I watched Poltergeist someone.
No, I never watched that one. I didn't watch any of the spiritual stuff. That's the funny thing about me.
Oh, that's the stuff I hated.
My mom would never let us watch that. But what, I don't know. She wouldn't let us watch any of it. But the stuff we watched was like slasher films. You know, somebody's killing a bunch of kids at a camp. Right. With a hatchet.
Ooh, that's totally fun. Nothing spiritual going on there.
But it felt like you could stop the guy, maybe.
Right.
You know.
He's just a psychopath.
You can't stop a wall that's like got hands from the other side coming in to get you. What are you going to do with that? Yeah. You can't just call a drywall guy. I don't think.
Yeah, you're calling the wrong person. No,
that's
that
not
point.
Angie's list. That's right.
That's Satan's list. I never liked him.
Right.
You and I used to remember how many guys from our youth group,
17,
18-year-old, big, burly guys, would show up at my house at midnight crying, watching one of those spiritual-type films.
Oh, that would be upset.
Like, we really heard something like they...
Oh, right.
And, you know, they were freaked out of their minds. So much so that they drove to their youth pastor's house as basically grown men.
Yeah.
You know, and I would just be like, guys, you know, number one, I mean... There is real stuff in the spiritual world. I'm not saying understand it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this movie accessed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know this. You can know a tree by its fruit, and like fear is only fun for a second.
Yeah.
And it can, like fear is never from God. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, if you want to make yourself afraid.
I think some people see it though like a roller coaster is afraid.
Correct.
Like they're getting kind of like a thrill from like knowing that it's not real.
There's an initial adrenaline.
Yeah.
But the topic.
Right.
Messes with you, and you get off the roller coaster, you're done. Mm-hmm. You get off of those over spiritualized, you know, sort of demon driven type things. Uh-huh. Like I don't know. We always still say like we're not going to mess with that stuff. We're just not going to mess with it. Like,
sure.
I think in ministry and in people's darkness when they've been in darkness or I've been in darkness, you know, it's some of that. It's just like I do believe. Especially if you believe the Gospels. I mean, there is another set of realities happening. I'm not saying it's all, you know, left behind or this present darkness and it's all like right around me right now. There's a battle happening or whatever.
Yeah.
I do believe there is a battle happening of some sort. I'm not sure that the extent of it. But I know this. I don't want to access it in the wrong ways.
Yeah.
Because I just don't – and I don't like being afraid. It's not fun.
And the second thing you would tell those people is like, stop coming to my house.
Right. It's late.
It's late.
I don't get paid enough for this.
How did you get my address?
Right. Who are you?
Right.
Right. It turns out I didn't know the kid
Could
at
you
all.
Find another youth pastor, please?
Right. There's another church down the road.
There's so many churches.
Ugh.
They would love to have you.
You're probably going to end up there anyway in 6 months if you follow
Thank you.
Everyone else around here. Then I get all into my stuff. That's interesting. Is some stuff I'm writing right now for some people, like early book stuff. About how when you parent, the greatest gift you can give as a parent to your kid is to understand how to organize your own internal issues.
Yeah.
Or at least being able to identify them and work through them. Otherwise, you will always parent through the lens of your own issue versus the lens of whatever your kid's issue is. And it sounds simple, but that's why it's a joke in the publishing industry, almost like parenting books don't always do well because parents want you to give them a book about how to change the kid.
Oh, right.
They'll read that book, how the kid should change. But they don't want to read a book about how they should change.
Is it Margaret Thatcher or Mother Teresa? One of those two said.
Mother Thatcher?
Everybody thinks of changing the world, but nobody thinks of changing themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody wants to change themselves.
Right.
Which is how we change the world.
Or as Jackson said,
look at starting with the man in the
star. Okay. And it's like, but that you can't.
Uh-huh.
Like if you haven't done some work to at least identify, you will assume their issue is the same as yours that you haven't identified. So you're actually stuck working on or you're actually being hit by your own issue, not theirs.
Right.
So
somebody was I read this thing the other day and it was talking about how social media, people that just demonize social media sort of have it wrong. I don't know what age this person was that wrote this, so they're going to have their own perspective. But they really did make a convincing argument to me, this statement, and it was something to the degree of, it's a perfectly designed algorithm that knows exactly what you've listened to, what you enjoy, and it gives you more of that. So really, when you look at social media, if you hate it, it's almost like a mirror. And you're really kind of like, you're wearing the t-shirt of the band at the concert you're going to, and you're like, this band sucks.
Yeah.
But you're at the concert and you're wearing the t-shirt of the band, in essence, is how I've took what they were saying.
See, I wonder about that, because what if it just chose to show you something?
To kind of get your, and then you watch it for a second, and now it's well, they're locked in.
Now it's what you want to see.
Sure, but I just, it's like, I don't know. I just think sometimes when people go, oh, TikTok's the worst, it's all women in bikinis dancing around, you're like, buddy, you're telling on yourself.
Right.
Because that's not what TikTok is for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think there's something there where... Right. People kind of almost telling themselves a little bit when they're...
It's interesting. Yeah. Because if you got... Yeah, if you're telling us that, I don't know why these
Every
things...
video is this. And you're going, well, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do agree that they do things that kind of get you, and especially now that we know it's like freaking Chinese controlled or whatever, that there has been like instances of what you would call like anti-West propaganda.
Yeah.
Or at least somebody said this the other day that... I saw that on the talk show, and they said, did you know that the TikTok that is allowed through the net, in other words, you know, they have the filters in China.
Yeah.
So they have TikTok as well. Their version is like kids solving math equations, doing, right. And so their version is different. Us is like kids falling off a building,
right,
and doing dumb dances, and that trends. And so it's almost like, look how dumb the West, let's see how dumb we can make the Westerners look and be,
yeah,
and get these trends going where they're, let's eat Tide Pods, like... They're allowing that through on our end, but on their end, they're like,
we don't want our kids seeing that.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I do think that part is interesting. But anyway, I know we talk a lot about social media here, so I thought that was kind of an interesting, like, oh yeah, I guess it is sort of, we're kind of bugged that the algorithm gets us. Because we talk about it all the time. It's like, why did the computer know that I went shopping for a sleeping bag online 2 weeks ago. Now it's nothing but sleeping bag ads. But that's kind of what we wanted the internet to be when we built it. It would be this all-encompassing that would help us.
I wonder if, think of this little twist.
Okay.
What if, like, the reason you keep seeing it is you're more entertained by being enraged?
Yeah.
So it continually not just shows you what you like.
Right.
It shows you what you hate, because that's what you now are conditioned to do.
Right. Well, for sure that happens. I'm listening to a podcast on called American Scandal. It's my favorite history podcast.
Sure, I'm glad you said history, because I thought, if this is not your favorite podcast, what are we even doing?
Right. So they
I mean, a podcast that does good things.
They're doing Oklahoma City bombing and talking about how he was so wrapped up in Waco and government intrusion that's what led to the bombing, and kind of how his radicalization happened. And it was pre-social media, really pre-internet. And so they did the whole story, four-parter, and then the fifth part was he was interviewing somebody who's like an adjunct professor somewhere about social media's impact on extremism. And he was talking about like how this is going to be a really hard thing to extract ourselves from, because you can't have the government get super involved in something that's considered speech, because it would almost be like telling the LA Times, because we're all a newspaper now. We get to put out whatever we want. You can't just get involved, be like, tell LA Times, hey, you can't publish this. So that would be overreach by the government. But we know that extremism has like the level of what they're calling polarization. And he had two levels of it. He called it, one is like polarization, and one was, what did he call it? It wasn't extreme polarization, but it was basically a level of polarization where you go, not only is the other side not thinking like me, they are dangerous to the country, and I'd be okay with them not being here.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're seeing more people emboldened to say like,
if you don't like it, leave.
Yeah. Or you're not a real American. Yeah. Or seeing people even say like, I'm going to take out Democrats today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to whatever. It's not just I'm going to dunk on them. It's like, this country would be better if they were not here. And so that level of like extreme polarization has really thrived in social media. And part of it, and his answer to it was, he had all this research he had done and looked up as well and seen all this peer-reviewed research about how engagement is driven by negative reactions so much more. And that's why disinformation and misinformation is spread so much quicker, because it's like, it's confirmation bias, and then you just hit share before you know it, because it's like, yep, I knew it. I knew they were responsible for my lot in life. You don't think to check it, and then it just goes and goes and goes, and it just gets in a loop, and we're in this echo chamber now that we, you know, and we I don't know. I don't know what the solve is, but it definitely is something like he didn't have any easy answers. He said almost that he wanted like people to have be incentivized to not police speech, but it was almost like incentivized to stop disinformation at least. Like, you know, which they tried that during the pandemic with like fact checking things of like, yeah. Well, this has been actually proven not to be true or whatever. And people got so enraged, you know,
now they think that the social media platform is in on the conspiracy.
Well, the image was blurred out. And so that was, and I'm not saying that that's not possible, that it's not possible that there could be, you know, whatever, but this massive, like, I don't know. Anyway, we're kind of getting off the subject because I don't want to get into anything that political, but I do think it's interesting that is social media a mirror or is it this own thing? And maybe it's a little bit of both. Like we built Frankenstein's monster and now it's out.
Yeah.
And it became something we didn't really want it to be, but how do we get it back? You can't get it back to the lab now.
No, I don't think you can. And that's the scary part of it all. Like, I don't know how – you literally have a generation who does not understand, you know, unless they have been putting their own limitations on it or been put by their parents. Like, there is a time where reality is that them. And it's true that it is that. It's making money. It's, you know, like it does have a reality. It's not just something fictitious. So there are stars being made.
Yeah.
And are affecting political outcomes.
We're stars.
Johnny,
where would we be without the internet?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So many.
You know, and looking back at how we got here, Johnny, makes me think about another segment that we like to do every week.
It's the only segment we do every week.
Oh.
It's This Week in History, John. We call it Talk About Then. John, let me just ask you this. Mm. How far would you go to avenge Laura's death if she had been killed in war?
Was she a soldier?
She was a soldier in this scenario. She's killed in battle.
Okay.
And you just go, this shall not stand.
Was she killed by an army or by an individual that I can find?
Well, an army.
And I'm going to go after an army?
Yeah. Would you enlist
to get involved? I would enlist, yeah.
Well, let's flip it around because here's what happened.
Okay.
This week, 1944, I don't know how to pronounce this. She's Russian. Maria, Oktyabrskaya. Was killed in battle because she had learned her husband had been killed fighting the Germans during World War II. She sold all of her possessions, bought a tank for the Red Army.
Wow. You can do that?
Her conditions were that the tank be named the Fighting Girlfriend and that she be allowed to drive it. Seen at first as a publicity stunt, she fought in several battles, proving herself an able and skilled tank driver. She then died of wounds received while repairing her tank under heavy fire after being hit by a German anti-tank shell. She was the first female tank driver awarded the Hero of the Soviet Union Award, the Soviet Union's highest award for bravery during combat.
Wow.
The Fighting Girlfriend.
Well, how's there not a movie about this?
I know.
Guys.
Right?
I'm writing that book right now.
Maybe we need to know more. Like, it's one of those things where you dig in and it could be problematic in every way. Because it's the Red Army, so who knows? But I'm just saying. So, yeah, let's talk about Avenge Me.
Wow.
She's out there.
Yeah. No, I can't believe they let you bring your own tank.
She sold everything she had. Mm. This is the thing. It's one thing to be like, I'm going to enlist or I'm going to. She's like, no, I want to be a tank driver.
Yeah.
I brought my own tank.
Yeah. Man. Is it okay? Is it cool if I. Yeah.
This you'll relate to this one, and this is a huge moment in history for us as lazy people. Mm. March of 1892, the first escalator was
1892.
It was patented by American inventor Jesse Wilford Reno. The idea for his inclined elevator, air quotes, was originally part of his proposal to build an underground New York City subway. The subway proposal was rejected, but the inclined elevator caught on. So the subway didn't come for years later, I guess. But he had I know how one gets steps down into the sewer. And we can make it electric. And they were like, I don't know about your train idea.
But we like.
But these electric steps are going to be something.
Yeah.
And so it included rubber-coated moving handrail. So he had the original design because it still has rubber. The handrail kind of goes a little faster than the... You ever notice that?
I've never
noticed. Gaffigan has a bit about that. Like, when the rubber part goes a little faster than the steps, you're like, see ya up there, hand! Just your hand takes off without you. Anyway.
That's good.
And a comb of protected fingers on the end. So listen, he had the original design. Because it still has the little... You ever see these people that pause a long time before they step onto that first step?
Yeah.
They look down and they wait.
Timing it.
Like, no, has anyone ever? I'm sure people have fallen, but
hey, it's Tai Chi.
It's true. They're just kind of making
like,
sure they're in the
my time.
Getting centered.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, the 18. So you're surprised? You thought it was more recent or more?
Yeah, I would have called that more recent.
1892.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like what was it gas power? Or what was it running on? What was it?
Electric? Is what it said?
I guess. Originally part of the
steam. I'm just kidding.
Shirtless people are running on a. Under the underside of it, they're running. They're sweating.
They're having to climb a real flight of stairs to make this one work.
That could be. That's a whole thing. Yeah. The first professional baseball team, John, 1869, the Cincinnati Red Stockings was organized. They later changed their name to the, I think they were the Red Legs
the Cincinnati
for a while.
Stockings.
Yes, the Cincinnati Stockings. I think they were the Red Legs for a while, the Red Legs, and now they're just the Reds, and they've been bad for a long time. Mm. But they were really good in the 70s and 80s. The team consisted only of 10 players who went on salary till November. They would post a perfect season of 67-0.
But were there any other professional
teams? Yeah, hold on a minute. I'm looking this up because this is a little confusing. Because it says, yeah, the first professional baseball team. Yeah, what are they? Who are they playing? Yeah, what do you know?
I don't know, let's call it 68-0.
What do you know? We won again. They're just playing a bunch of scrimmages against themselves. The Ides of March, John.
Beware.
You got to beware of the Ides of March. Oh. Julius Caesar assassinated by a group of conspirators led by?
Cassius and Brutus.
Marcus Brutus.
Yeah.
According to the historian Plutarch, a fortune teller had warned him, beware the Ides of March.
And see, I thought, I'm off of my Shakespeare.
The event was immortalized in Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar. The words Ides is from Latin, meaning to divide, and is the 15th day.
Right.
Did you know that? That's why it's the Ides of March.
Day.
So it's halfway through
the month.
I didn't
know the Latin origin, per se.
At one time, the Ides of March marked the assassination of Caesar by Vincenzo Caminici.
What now?
I'm reading two sentences at once. At one time, the Ides of March marked the new year, so they started their year.
Huh.
At one point
on the 15th
on the what the with the Julius Julian calendar.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I don't.
I want to say Caesarian calendar, but that's not.
I don't think that's.
That's a different.
That's a different thing.
It's a 9 month calendar.
Right.
Anyway. Here's one. This is such a good one.
Okay.
Because, you know, we talk about, like, political history sometimes, and then sometimes there'll be a quote, and you'll be like, there's no way that really happened.
Yeah.
It's such a funny, like, you wish politicians could be this funny now.
Yeah, please.
Because they're just, like, either out of it, or they're mean-spirited. This is, like, the perfect line. Like, Reagan had so many of those, but I did not know this
just
one.
Just a little levity. You
know? JFK, March 15, 1958, after having been accused of using his father's money and influence to buy the election... Which that was still going on then, even back then. There were people accusing that stuff.
Yeah, the accusations were happening.
John F. Kennedy read a telegram that he said he had received from his dad. I don't know if he did this on the air somewhere. It said, "Dear Jack, don't buy a single vote more than is necessary. I'll be damned if I'm going to pay for a landslide." That's amazing.
Wow.
That is like next level
wow.
Just satire, next level snark.
Right.
Yeah, I bought the election. I've got a telegram from my dear old dad, and he reads this great.
Wow.
So good. What a great little comeback. I wonder if our friend Allison Holland knows. I'm sure she does.
Oh, I'm sure.
She's probably done a whole episode on it. She's like, you didn't watch the...
Right, she's probably right now.
Listen
like,
to the...
That is not accurate. It happened in 1957 or whatever.
Yeah,
like, Allison, I'm sick of it. I'm just kidding. You're
John,
a great podcast.
1937, the first blood bank opened.
Really?
I'm assuming the Red Cross was involved, or maybe that, I don't know. It doesn't have a whole lot of, That's all I have
is
the first blood bank
open. You're a historian.
You could turn your money into blood.
Unbelievable.
That's all I...
What is the exchange rate for that?
I don't know. Can you get paid in? Yeah.
Can I get some hemoglobin for some?
Can I give some platelets? I remember when the first plasma TVs came out, it was a confusing thing for me because I would hear people like donating plasma and then a plasma television.
Came. Right.
They still make plasma televisions?
I don't think so.
Everything's LCD or what do they call those now? LED displays.
LEDs.
LCD was a TLC. That's a TV that chases waterfalls. Anyway, okay. Now. Last one, John.
All right. Hit me with it.
Born this week in 1932, American astronaut Alan L. Bean. Do you know what he's significant for?
I do not.
This is the best. It shows a lot about our culture. He was the fourth man to walk on the moon.
Wow.
In 1969. So it's like we know Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and then there's one other guy that I think we sort of know his name. Like if I said his name, you would get it.
Yeah.
And then you got Alan L. Bean, and then you go, isn't that the catalog with the...
Right. And it's like, guy nobody really...
Al L. Bean? Isn't that his... No, he was the fourth man. And so, you know, he just... Maybe he wanted that life of like, look, I'm cool. Look, I've made peace with my legacy.
I just want to come off the bench and contribute to the moonwalk.
What if he was like ready to be first and then he just gets... They're like, hey, could you go grab that wrench?
That was... And then he right came, now? Yes.
And then they all jump down.
That actually is a little bit of a... plot line in that Apple TV Plus show called For All Mankind.
Okay.
Is like, it's the Russians and the Americans who can...
Right, the space race.
Who can walk on the moon first because mm-hmm. they're, you know, and there is a like, basically they sabotage the other one to see who can get out. And then I think, yeah, I want to say...
The cosmonauts.
I want to say that, because I think a woman walked on the moon in that show first.
Oh, really?
Perhaps. I don't remember. And I think, like, yeah, she, while there was an argument going on or something, she, like, just darted out there.
Yeah.
And became the first one.
Amazing.
And it was like, don't quote me, it's been a while since I've watched that show, but...
I need to know exactly.
Her name was... I think, actually, she goes on to be the president, I think, in that show.
In that show.
Yeah. No. In this real life.
Alternate reality.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a shout-out to Alan L. Bean. He died in 2018.
Wow.
So he lived a long life.
A long life.
Born 1932, died 2018. So yeah, he had a pretty good run and got to walk on the moon.
Yeah.
If you believe that sort of thing. Or he walked on a soundstage in Arizona. Either way, it's also, pretty good. Arizona's pretty great.
I've never walked on a soundstage in Arizona.
Nope.
I've not even been asked. See, I've not applied or anything.
Remember the old Twilight Zone where they go up and then they crash land on an alien planet? And there's a four of them, and a couple of them, like five of them, but then two of them die. So there's three left, and they're trying to find food, and it's a whole thing, and they're blah, blah. And then they start turning on each other one by one, and it's a whole thing. And then one guy kills the other two, basically. And then right as he gets over the edge of the ravine that he's been traipsing to try to find water, he sees a sign that says, now entering Reno, or whatever. So basically, they crash landed on Earth.
Wow.
And didn't realize it. So it's the big Twilight Zone. That's the big, there's always the big reveal.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, you didn't need to kill these guys. They weren't, like, it was just the whole thing.
It's always mistaken perspective.
Yeah, you were back on Earth the whole time. You were safe.
The thing you couldn't see was the reality
well,
you needed
safe,
the most.
As safe as you can be in Reno.
Well, that's true.
You can get,
he's like, no, I made a good decision.
Yeah. These guys. Yeah. Shout out to Reno.
Yeah.
Any of our Reno fans.
Yeah. I've never been to Reno.
I haven't either.
Really? Out of all book it right now.
I'm going to go online and look.
Some listener out there needs to get your organization. Maybe there's a comedy club there to bring in Johnny W.
I want to say that I don't promote like individual dates a lot. I just say go to the website and look at dates. But I do have a few coming up that I think are time sensitive.
Okay.
One of them is like 70% sold out, and it's not till February of next year.
Wow.
It's a cruise. It's a marriage cruise.
Wow.
And evidently, it's so popular that people rebook. They get the invite to rebook early, and it fills up like halfway off the bat. So it's already like there's only a few cabins left, evidently. So if you want to go see me and a bunch of other, I'm sure it's authors and speakers. It's a Christian thing. It's
threw
a,
that
it's called
the
love. Yeah, I'm sorry. Wouldn't that be great if we could?
Oh, John.
I'll make it happen, John.
I'm free next February.
Are you?
Bring it.
Are you sure? It's called the Love Like You Mean It Cruise. So if you go to lovelikeyoumeanitcruise.com and you want to come with me and my lovely wife, and it's going to the leaves Miami, it goes to the Bahamas, it goes to somewhere, Costa Rica, I think, Ocho Rios.
We are going to have the best time.
You're going to stow away in my. I've got a big suitcase. I bet you could.
I mean, maybe I could sell the.
You've got till February to get down to about, I'm thinking 130 you would need to be.
I better schedule a surgery.
Yeah, that's I'm going to get a bone saw out.
Right, and take off a limb.
You'll be fine.
Johnny.
But go to.
I accept your invitation.
Yes. So. Well, here's what you can do. If you go to lovelikeyoumeanitcruise.com, you could buy a ticket.
I'm going to do it like Michael Scott does whenever his boss is like, you can come see me anytime.
All right.
Like, I bought a ticket.
Yeah.
I'm coming on Memorial Day or whatever it was. Yeah.
Well,
you should go see Johnny the Cruise, actually. That'd be a really fun event.
It is.
And imagine a listener who loves the podcast,
right.
Loves Johnny's comedy.
Wants to come hang out with me on the Lido deck?
Wants to come hang out.
Have a pina colada or whatever
it
would be.
It won't be weird at all when Johnny just like says, no, I'm sorry, and calls for security. But
yes,
it's fine. You won't know that until it's too late.
Listen, there's all kinds of videos out about how to get yourself out of zip ties.
Oh, yeah. Watch them now.
Let's get that information ready because you're
probably going to need it.
Yeah.
And then you have a story to tell.
Yes. Because I do have like a short fuse. Like if I feel in danger, I will be like.
He immediately starts zip tying people.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen anything like it.
If people come towards me, that's a red flag.
Right.
If you're walking towards me.
Like in the mall.
Even like at my merch table.
Oh my god!
Like
gosh.
You walk up, that was such a great show.
And
like
before
when
you get
the
words
when you
out.
Get to shh, I'm like, I'm waving somebody over to
right.
tase you.
You've already been demobilized.
Yeah.
By Johnny.
Or immobilized.
No.
Demobilized is when someone takes your mobile away, and then you don't have anything to bat when you're in the crib and stare at.
That's great.
I don't know.
Check it out. Is there another show you want to promote?
There's a few. I've got March 25th coming up. This podcast will release that Monday, but that Friday I'm in Dallas.
Yeah,
And that's a ticketed event. So you got to come. Look on my website for those tickets. Omaha, March 31st.
That's JohnnyW.com.
JohnnyW.com, JohnnyW.com. And then so a few dates in April, Jonesboro, Arkansas in mid-April, April 14th. And then Colleyville, Texas, I'm doing their Sunday morning services.
Nice.
So a little bit of comedy and maybe a little message. So Ooh. Bring a friend kind of a Sunday thing that I do. I do those sometimes. But anyway, so some things coming up. Just check out the website.
Yeah, man. Check it out.
And go to Amazon. Check out John's many, many book offerings. That helps John pay his mortgage.
It does. I will say this. I, as the teaching pastor of the church, have invited you many times to do one of those Sunday messages here.
Yeah.
And I need an answer in front of these millions of listeners right now.
I'm going to say yes.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay. Because usually it's like a will. And I'm like, Johnny. Because is it like a prophet has no honor in his own home?
Is that an actual scripture?
Yeah.
People always say that. Yeah, I just wonder if like, a prophet has no
prophet
honor.
I'm sorry. I can't remember the exact phrasing of it.
Yeah. There's something to that where.
Homies can't come home. Or
I have
something
felt.
Like that.
I have felt like we've done a bunch of events here. And it got to the point where we were doing so many every year that I felt like our crowd were getting a little arm foldy.
Yeah, that made me laugh, Johnny.
Yeah, so that made me a little bit pensive, but that's pride. I'll do better, John.
That was a while ago.
It is.
You've
ran all those people off. That's what you're saying? It's a whole new crew that can fold their arms in a new way.
And the number one thing when they had signed up membership was we started showing them Johnny W. clips to see if they laughed. It was like, you pass.
Yes. Do you think you have things like that where you have like a little test, like if somebody is critical of a show that you love, you go, we're not going to be friends.
Yeah.
Do you have those?
Sometimes. I will say this. There are certain things that people say to me if they're brand new to the church, you know?
Yeah.
That sometimes I just head it off the pass now.
Okay.
I don't tell them to leave or something. I just go, hey, I just want you to know, like, I don't want you to be offended or anything, but here, this is what.
Oh, you're talking about something. I was just meaning, like, if somebody says that they hate The Office or, like, I don't know about you, but I've not seen one Star Wars movie. You're like, all right, you're going to be a.
This is not going
to. What do people say that you had off at the past, though?
Well, one, like, we used to have
We don't like Johnny W.
One, we used to have a joke that if someone came to me ever after a service and they said, Pastor John, I loved it.
Oh, right.
I will be back every week. If they said the words, I will be back every week, I would never see
them again.
It's the magic words never come back. It was uncanny. I bet it happened literally 25, 30 times.
Yeah.
We'll just joke about it. So if they say that, I'm like, hey, you know what? We'd love to have you back.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, check out a group or something. You know,
does it go the other way if somebody says that was the worst sermon ever, lose my number?
I can't get rid of them.
You can't get rid of them. They stay.
Yeah, they're around.
It's that negative engagement. It's that thing.
Yeah. We're working on church negative engagement here. Uh-huh. Some might say we're succeeding at a grand level, but...
A negative engagement model for your church. I like it.
Yeah.
Just to stir the pot.
It's not the book you're expecting to be written.
No.
But, Johnny, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
The book you're not expecting, which is why no one buys them.
The Troll Church.
Wow. Trollchurch.com. I bet you that's available right now.
Uh-huh.
And if not, Troll Church MJ.
We're going to have it linked directly to our website, which is what, John?
Let's talk about that podcast.com.
That's right. All the archived episodes there for you. Check those out. Yeah. And if you want to go to our Patreon, we love our patrons. Little packages on our way to the patrons
Did
this
you send
week.
It?
They're on the way. Just don't get all up in a tizzy about it.
They're on the way.
There's been some shipping.
Oh.
You know, I've got to get the... You know, I'm working on it. We're efforting.
This is like when your wife calls and is like, hey, have you left yet? And you're like...
Well, now, yeah, you can't do that anymore now, right? No. We all have these apps that just tell you.
I'm like, looking at Life 360.
We
right
know
now.
You, yeah.
Yeah.
She's turned on your front-facing camera. It won't be long there'll be an app that does that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
that'd be no good, right?
I don't have anything
to hide. Hey, when someone tries to call you and they initiate the call as a FaceTime, that's very presumptive to me.
Right.
Like, go text me or call me and go, hey, can we FaceTime real quick? That's fine.
If you FaceTime, but, I'm assuming it's an emergency.
Because you have to reject the FaceTime out of hand. There needs to be a button that says, like, take the FaceTime, reject the call, say, I would love to talk to you audio, but I'm on the toilet. The third option.
Needs that third option.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to hear me. You don't need to see any of this.
Like, I assume, like, my daughter FaceTimed me from school today, which has never happened.
Right.
And I was in a meeting, and I was like, I got to take this. Because I'm assuming...
Yeah.
She's going to be like, look, Dad, the school's burning down or something. Like, you know, she's going to try to show me something.
Yeah.
It was nothing like that. She wanted to tell me about a test grade and she was.
But she wanted you to see the reaction.
So it wasn't a great test grade.
But got you out of that meeting. So that's hooray for Sadie.
Yeah. So I was like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm great. Just wanted you to know. I was like, okay. You've never FaceTimed me before, but it was great to see your face, Johnny. See, unlike you, I like seeing the faces of the people that I love.
That's so nice.
So, yeah. And you know what? We want you guys to see more of our faces, which is why you also, believe it or not, can watch this podcast on YouTube.
That's right. And we post clips, too, to kind of tease the full episodes. But those are available on our YouTube channel.
We're about to integrate those videos into our webpage on a different level where now each episode also has
We YouTube. Found a 7-year-old that showed us how to use a website.
That's crazy. You should also check out, though, the network that we're on, which is called lifeaudio.com.
That's
you
right.
You can go to lifeaudio.com, and you can see all kinds of other amazing podcasts. We actually have an episode coming up soon. We're going to do sort of a
collaboration.
Yeah, a collaboration with another amazing podcast from Life Audio. So go check out lifeaudio.com and see what other offerings they have for you there as well. Guys, we appreciate every week the time that you give to us, and we look forward to it again next week on
Talk About That.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian prayer meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian prayer meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.